Praise the Lord, church. It is a little unusual here this morning. And, I've got a text message from Brother Ward Meyer, our usher, wishing us having a great service. Normally the building is full of people. Now you're all in your homes, safe and secure, hopefully. But I'm excited about what God is doing in spite of all of the mess that's going on around us. Brother Phil made reference to the tarp or the black covering behind me. I would like to thank our maintenance team, Johnny Grant, and he's got, I think, Tim Powell over here, and Brother Ben Vernon, and Excel Electric. Some of those guys have been here this past week getting our baptismal. We've got a really nice new baptismal tank going in. Our other one, if you know, we've had all kinds of issues with it over the last, well, I guess since it's been installed 25 years ago. So, but anyway, just recapping this past week, I know some of you have been in and out of the building. We're not like locking the building down per se, but we are trying to limit the in and out of the building. We're trying to keep everything sanitized and such, just for safety precautions and that. So if you come over and you ring the buzzer and go ahead, come in if you need to, but just be careful where you go. Every place that you go to, everything you touch, we do have to take and re-sanitize. So I know some of you have popped in and out over the course of the week, and we kind of feel really bad about not letting you just walk around the building, but understand the situation that we're dealing with. Also, with Kids Depot, we have our child care center, and it's still in operation, and I'm not for sure if that's going to continue this next week, but just pray for our sister Nancy Carnes, our child center director. And there's just a lot of pressure, a lot of fear among the families that are sending their children. But just pray that God would keep just a peace and such in our child care center. And also Brother Claude Abga with African International, they've been contacted by an international group that they're looking to bring student teachers from various African nations. Right now they have student teachers from Rwanda and then from Burkina Faso, and they're looking for host families. Now I understand we're in the middle of a national health care crisis right here, right now. They're looking at starting this up between May and into August. But if you're interested in hosting a family or a individual, I'm sorry, not a family, but if you're a family and you're looking or interested in hosting an individual teacher, a student teacher that would be coming from Burkina Faso and or Rwanda in Africa. All right. A little awkward here right now, folks. I started an announcement with Brother Claude with their African International, and what we're going to do is we're just going to send that announcement out in a form of an email so we don't get stuck here. But reading this morning, we started on Wednesday evening a series, and we titled the series, God's Got This. God's Got This. And our scripture that we're reading was Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. If you have your Bibles there with you, we're going to go ahead and read that. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This is a very common passage of scripture for many of us. We've heard many, many sermons over the years preached upon the house on the rock and the house on the sand. And we've read it over many times. We've sang songs about it, told Sunday school stories about it. And yet here we are today, and this parable is becoming a living reality. Everywhere around us is chaos, and the collapse, it seems to be on an unprecedented scale. We were talking Wednesday night, and from Wednesday night until today, things have continued to unravel around us. The anxiety and the fear that is stepping into society is relentless. It's all around us, church, and all that is not built upon a rock will stand, will fall. So when we look at this, and the world seems to be unraveling at a breakneck speed, but church, I just want to reassure you this Sunday morning that God has got this. God is in control. We can be encouraged by reading Psalms 45, 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. We can lift up our hearts with gratitude, and whatever else may happen to us in our life, God's throne will remain forever. The Bible talks about everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and we're seeing governments being shaken. We're seeing people being shaken. We're seeing institutions being shaken, and I'm not here to preach a doomsday message this morning. I'm here to preach a message of encouragement that everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken, but there are some things that we can hang on to that will never be shaken. And I want to tell you this morning and remind you this morning that the throne of God can never be shaken. We can read in the book of Lamentations. It's not a book that we read out of very often, but Lamentations chapter 5 verse 19 says, "You, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation." We can praise God that no matter what else happens around us, His throne will remain secure. You may ask today, what does the Bible mean when it talks about the throne of God? It means that His rule, it represents God's kingship. The throne of God is the kingship, the authority of God. It's His rule, and His rule will last forever and ever. As we read in Lamentations, "You, O Lord, reign forever." This tells me that the throne of God, it represents God Himself. When I look at the passage of Scripture, the throne of God will never be shaken because God will never be shaken. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12 declares, "In the beginning, O Lord, You laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are at work in Your hands. They will perish, but You remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a roll, like a garment will be changed, but You remain the same, and Your years will never end." We have to understand one thing, that God is eternal. God is unchangeable. Nothing can shake Him and nothing can change Him. God didn't wake up back in December sometime and say, "Hey, Gabriel, I need you to go find Michael because we got this crisis going on down here on earth. We got this new virus that's got these little red pointy things that look like little muff balls poking out all over it. And I've never seen anything like this before. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what humanity's mess it's got itself back into." But no, that's not how God works. This whole crisis that we're dealing with, God didn't wake up and just say, "Oh," pound His hand on His forehead and say, "What's next?" No, God says, "I've got all of this in control. I got all of this in control, because we got to understand when it comes to God's throne and his kingly rule over the earth, the throne of God cannot be shaken. And we as loyal subjects to that throne, are we not loyal subjects to the throne? Jesus states in Mark 13:31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, that the word of the Lord stands forever. You see, God's word, just like himself, it's not created. It's not created. It will remain forever. It's unchangeable. We may try to change it. We may try to manipulate it. But in the end, all efforts will be in vain, because God's word simply cannot be shaken. The Bible is living, it's powerful, and it's eternal. We talked about this last Wednesday evening, about reading the word of God, the importance of reading the word of God. We're living in the day to where that every bit of food that you get spiritually may not come across this pulpit. You're going to have to dig in, church. We're going to have to dig in. We're going to have to stay in touch with God by reading his word. We're going to have to stay in touch by God by praying his word. And we're going to have to stay in touch by living his word, because the word of God cannot be shaken. Its power cannot be shaken. I love what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says. For the word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And the word of God has the power to convict, and the power to convert, to cleanse, to comfort, and to counsel. And its power will never alter. Has anyone ever made a promise to you and then break that promise? Well, according to God's own words, his words cannot be changed. His promises cannot be broken. His promises cannot be shaken. When we read into the word of God, there's over 30,000 promises that are found within the pages of Scripture. But no one has ever, not one of them promises has ever failed, nor will they ever fail. There are promises for every child of God, and there are promises for every situation in life. And these become ours when we put our faith and we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love what the psalmist says. I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What that tells me in the time and the day that I live in, that it doesn't matter what happens around me, God is going to take care of me. We have to understand, and I've preached this so many times over this pulpit, that God's word is personal. It's written to us personally. 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells me, for all the promises in God, of God in him, are yea, and in him amen, until the glory of God by us. When we look into the word of God, church, we have to understand that the word of God, it has the power to convict. Acts 2:37 tells us, when and brethren, what shall we do? They were convicted in their hearts. The power of the word of God is powerful. It can convict. It has the power to convict. We read in Psalms chapter 19:7 that his word has the power to convert. We read in Psalms 119:9, it has the power to cleanse us. It can cleanse us. It can comfort us in Psalms 119, verses 49 and 50. So if you need comfort this morning, you can look that up and you can read that promise. It has the power to counsel us when we need advice from God. I've been praying, God, give me good, solid counsel as we work through this crisis. This isn't just a crisis for Calvary Gospel Church. This isn't just a crisis for your family. This is a crisis for the entire nation and for the entire world. God has the power to give us counsel in Psalm 73:24, and his power will never change. When I look into the Word of God, I find many prophetic words. We just had a series talking about the prophetics and talking about declaring and His Word. And many people will scoff at the prophecies that are contained in the Word of God. But by doing so, they're actually fulfilling the very prophetic words that they're scoffing against. God's word is powerful. It's unshakable. It's our GPS, our spiritual guidance system, and it's secure. The word of God is 100% reliable. We can ask ourselves today, is it a convicting word? We just mentioned the word of God has the power to convict. So if it's a convicting word, have I been convicted? If it's a converting word, have I been converted? If it's a cleansing word, have I allowed it to cleanse me from all unrighteousness? If it's a comforting word, do I receive its comfort? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. If it's a counseling word, do I act upon? Am I willing to receive its wisdom? Do we long to read or listen to the Word of God? Do we let it convict us and let it cleanse us and counsel us? And have we allowed the Word of God, the Word who became flesh in Jesus Christ, to take control of our lives? So many of us today, we look at the Word of God as it's just another old book. It's more than just an old book. It's the book that can lead us, guide us, and direct us through these times in our lives. We can thank God that in a shaky world, we can thank God in a world that's falling apart around us, that His Word will always remain secure. I'm thankful that I can trust and believe in the Word of God. So when we look at this word that we're preaching this morning, the throne of God can never be shaken. The word of God can never be shaken. The promises that are found in the word of God can never be shaken. And I'm thankful that the church, we look at the church. Jesus spoke in Matthew 16, verse 18, and he puts it all together like this. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, we have a visible church. Right now, as I look out across this sanctuary, we have three people sitting in our visible church this morning. But there's so much more than just this visible church. There's so much more than just this brick and mortar. When we talk about the church of the living God, we're not talking about a piece of land and a bunch of steel and bricks and drywall and electrical and plumbing thrown all together on Commercial Avenue. When Jesus says, I will build my church, he was talking about individuals. He was talking about people. He was talking about humanity. Upon this rock, I will build my church. I will build up my people. I will have a people that have my name, that have my identity. And when they have my name and they identify with me, the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. I love what Paul writes in his book at the end of Ephesians chapter 1 about the true church. which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church of God is his body. It's not brick, it's not mortar, it's not stone, it's his body, with a fullness of him that fulfill all in, or all in all. The church, which is the body of Christ, it's the bride of Christ, it's you and I. And right now, this church is scattered all over southwestern Wisconsin. But you see, the church is made up of those who truly give their lives to Jesus Christ. And the church, the body of Christ, cannot and will not be shaken. The true church is secure. The true church is permanent. It's abiding, and it's not created to fail. If we belong to that church, what a blessing it is to know that there are members. We are members of the body of Christ, and we belong with countless others to which it's founded and built upon, none other than our risen Savior, our Lord and Christ, Jesus Christ. This church isn't founded upon the hands of men. It wasn't founded by men. It wasn't founded by, it may have began here in Madison with a handful of people, but it wasn't founded upon that foundation. It was founded upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. I like what Paul says. We have to ask ourselves this question: are we members of the true church? We hear this a lot. People claim that we are the true church. We are the true church. How do you know? How do we know that we are the true church? How can we tell that? What do we use as a guide? Paul writes to the church in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So what does Paul mean by work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Listen, we can be trapped into thinking that because we attend the church, because we attend church, or because we are members of a church, or because we try to be religious and good and attend a church, that we are secure. A few months ago, back in January, Pastor Phil, America, we felt pretty secure in our world. You have all of these terrible things happening. We have wars. We've had World War I and World War II and Vietnam War and the war in Afghanistan and the war in Iraq. But all of these wars, none of these were ever fought on American soil. So if we're not careful, we can develop the attitude that, well, it's never going to happen here. I've heard that before. I've had people tell me that, well, this is never going to happen in America. We live in America. Well, guess what, America? We're not so secure as we thought we were. You see, we live in a global world now, and our world has changed. And just as we always thought that I live in the United States of America, we're going to be safe, nothing will get to us. One of our fears right now is we're dealing with a sense of false security. You see, for no matter how religious or how righteous we may appear, God knows our thoughts and God knows our intentions, and he knows our heart. And by our heart, he will judge us. Not by any outward righteousness. He's not going to judge us by our church attendance. He's not even going to judge us by displays of spiritual power. Jesus says in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And your name, did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You see, understand something, church. That could be us. That could be you. That could be me. If we allow our hearts to stray away from him. But if we belong to the true church, if we belong to his church, we subject ourselves to his will and to his word, and we remain true, we are able to rejoice in the fact that the true church will never be shaken. See, how can you find out if you're in the true church? Is your church being shaken right now? Is your church falling apart? Are things coming apart, unraveling? I've had to sit a few folks down this past week and just say, listen, we need to settle down a little bit here. We need to get control. We need to cast out fear. Perfect love casteth out all fear. We've got to understand something. We've got to pull things together here. There's so many promises in the Word of God that are for the children of God. And if we're a child of God, if we're the church, if the church can't be shaken, Pastor Phil, and we're a child of God and we're in that church, then that means we, you and I, as children of God, we cannot be shaken either. You see, he has promised to keep his children secure until we're safely home with him in glory. Do you realize that as a child of God, we need to be so permeated by the Spirit of God? That's why it's important to every day inject yourself with the Word of God. Because we need to allow that Word to permeate us by the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost that's within us. So much that we become one with Jesus Christ. This past week we had Sister Bonnie Huber's funeral here on Monday. And we had Brother Pat Huber. We were talking with Brother Huber. And Pastor Seidel, as soon as we heard that Sister Bonnie had passed, we went over to the house and we spent some time with the family and encouragement and prayer. And Pastor Seidel and I, we were leaving and we were walking out, got in my pickup truck, and we drove away. And Pat was telling us, Brother Huber was telling us later, that his neighbor had watched us leave. And I just thought this was so encouraging, because I've never had anybody say this about me before. Of course, Pastor Seidel was there, say that about us, but his neighbor calls over to Pat and says, come here a minute. So Pat walks over and his neighbor says, who were those guys? Of course, Pat, Brother Huber, you know, being Brother Huber, he's like, well, what do you want to know? He said, well, there's something different about them. Well, what do you mean there's something different about them? He says, I could feel something different when they came out of your home and they walked and got in their truck. There's something different about those two men. Now, I felt good about that. Brother Seidel felt good about that. I can tell you what is different is because I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. I didn't feel real full of the Holy Ghost at that time. When you walk out, it was a very emotional time and a very emotional setting, but I knew that God was with us while we were there, and I knew that God was ministering while we were there, and when we left, evidently, I mean, God just left with us. Because he's in us. The man calls Pat later and He's out in the backyard, and he calls him over to the fence, and he says, I can't get those two men off my mind. Something is drawing me to that. Where is your church? Brother Pat had an opportunity to witness. You see, this church is what we're talking about. About a child of God cannot be shaken if the power and the Spirit of God is permeating out of him or her, out of us. You see, we need to become one with Jesus Christ. His life needs to pulsate within us. 1 John 2:17 says, "The world and its desires will pass away, but he who does the will of God lives forever." John also writes, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Paul sums it up this way in Romans 8:38. "For I am convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither can present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." As a Christian, as a born-again Christian, we have eternal life, and we cannot be shaken because Christ is our strength, and he cannot be shaken. He's our life. And when all that can be shaken is removed, the only thing that will remain will be the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." When Paul says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, you may be sitting in your home today. I don't know if you're watching this as a member of Calvary Gospel Church or as a guest, as Pastor Phil had mentioned earlier. You may say, "I'm afraid. I'm fearful. I don't know that I'm ready." If you're not sure that you're ready, and there's fear in your life, there is a way. There is a way. Jesus says, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." When we look at Acts chapter 2, that's the beginning of the church. And if our praise team, you could go ahead and come. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood at that crowd. And people stood there by the hundreds and by the thousands. And they said, "Men and brother, what shall we do?" What do we do? When they asked the question, what do we have to do to be saved? Peter had an answer for them. Peter answered them and said that we need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why Jesus Christ? Because the church is founded upon the foundation, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now we have to understand one thing, that we have to pray a prayer of repentance. We have to be baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. When we talk about the kingdom of God, we have to understand right now our world is living in a period of grace. The kingdom of God, God's kingly rule, represents both grace and judgment. As His children, if we've repented of our sins, we've been baptized in the name of Jesus, and we've been filled with the Holy Ghost. As us, we have placed our trust in Jesus Christ, we may freely come to the throne of grace and into the presence of God. But if we're not His children, if we refuse, we reject God. Or we neglect to follow the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day we will stand before the judgment throne of God. As we think about the instability in the world that we live today, we have to be encouraged to put our trust in the God who cannot be shaken. As you, over the next weeks, perhaps even months, deal with all of the shakiness of our world, listen, church. God has brought us to this point for this time. This is an opportunity where we as a church, we can stand tall. We can shine bright. You see, because there's a reason that in all of these calamities, all of this mess going on, that we can rejoice. The scripture says to give thanks in all things. We sometimes think about that, but listen, I'm thankful that the throne of God can never be shaken. I'm so thankful that the word of God, it is yea and it's amen. I'm so thankful for the church that God founded on Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for the power and authority of the church. And last of all, I'm ecstatically thankful to be called a child of God. So fathers in your homes, if you could just perhaps stand, gather your families into a circle. Perhaps maybe you're just by yourself. If you're home by yourself, listen. You may be by yourself in body, but not in spirit. And as all across this assembly, as our praise team gets ready to sing, fathers, it's very important that we lead our families into repentance. Lord, if there's any sin, any bitterness, any fear,
always holds me.
Ask you, Lord, to take it away. Lord, I repent for any sin, Lord. That you don't understand.
Hallelujah.
That's the power of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
You may say, well, why did God choose a language? Because we all have tongue and we can all speak. He didn't choose money. He didn't choose talent. He didn't choose wisdom.
He's my comfort.
He chose language.
Always.
And it's His language. And the identifies you with him. So won't you pray? Once again for joining us here Sunday morning. We do apologize for some of the technical difficulties that we've experienced, but such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost. I hope you're feeling what we're feeling here. And, Wednesday night we will be back. We have a Bible study here, and we'll be talking about four ways that we can love the world, love one another, and help each other, our families and our friends, those that we work with, through what we're going through. And as we said on Wednesday evening, Calvary Gospel Church, we love you, we appreciate you, I miss all of you. We'll be in touch in many different ways over the next week and the next few weeks. We don't know how long this is going to end or to go, but be smart. Just be smart out there. Be safe. Stay saved. Stay sanctified. and stay sanitized. Oh, God bless you all. We love you. We have VOSIS coming up at 1 o'clock. They will have their service online, and then African International will have their service online at 5 o'clock. God bless you all. We will see you on Wednesday evening.